Today on Real Life Radio.
Do you understand that you cannot have true relationship or worship without choice? And you and I practice that in the loves that we have, family, friends, whatever, okay? Whatever he's doing, he says in the end, it's going to work out. He says it's going to be perfect in the end.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack begins a new series called The Why Series with a message called Why, Oh Why. From the skeptic who doubts what the Bible says is true to the Christian who wants to confirm what they believe, the Why series will both challenge and equip us on how to respond to the universal questions we all face in life. From the time we're young, we drove our parents to the edge with why this and why that, right? Well, when we became teenagers, we often used the why question to test authority. And now as adults, we wrestle with that why question when it comes to the things of life, and how we need to ask God for the answers to those deep questions that He's placed in our hearts. So on this part of today's message, Pastor Jack takes on some why questions from the congregation and encourages us not to worry or live in fear and doubt. Our trust is with our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gives us a future and a hope for eternal life in heaven with Him. And now in his message called Why, Oh Why, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Paul argued logically and reasonably so well. It challenged the worldview of what people had. The Christian in the 21st century needs to be like this. We need to be thinkers and we need to be engagers. And listen, maybe the person you brought with you tonight, you need to answer their questions. God bless you for bringing them here tonight. But by all means, get their questions answered. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. That's a statement of fact. God says, the heavens are my showcase, and the firmament shows my handiwork. In other words, design and a designer with attributes. I want to bring this to you. Guys, go ahead and put it on the screen. I've always had a great time with this. So, New York Times, Beyond Energy, Matter, Time, and Space. Those of you who are in school, all of this science, all of this stuff that we're hearing right now, saying that science is it, there cannot be a God. We don't need God anymore because science is it. They're selling you out because they're not telling you what science can do for you, who made it, what's its purpose. Why science? Again, remember, science can only tell you how the engine starts and how the engine was made. Henry Ford built the car. Nobody knows why Henry Ford built it. We can see how it's built, but you'd have to crawl inside Henry Ford's head and ask him, why did you really do it? Is it to become a billionaire? I don't think he cared, but I don't know what he thought because only Henry Ford knows that. If you bake a cake tonight for somebody, we can look at the recipe. That's not science. I mean, it is science. It's not rocket science. But no one in the planet's going to know why you made the cake. Look at this. In science today, science without God, make believe. They say energy, matter, time, and space created all that there is. Did you know that? Are you in class right now? That's what they're telling you. If you have enough energy, if you have enough matter, if you have enough time, if you have enough space, boom! Welcome! Look what happened. You evolved from that. Did you know that's impossible? Oh, yeah, there goes your faith again. Oh, no, I'm not arguing faith. That's scientifically impossible. That right there. You can have all of those things you want, and you get zero. You can shake them in a box for a billion years. No, I'm serious. You can shake them in a box. You can shake all. In fact, I'll give you this. Take the parts of a 747, take it all apart, and shake it for 1,000 years. And it, even though you have all the parts to be a 747, it will never become a 747. Did you know it's scientifically impossible? Because the law of thermodynamics, entropy, will work it apart. The moment it comes together, it goes apart. The moment you buy a brand new car, by the time you get home, the nuts are loose on it. Did you know that? It has to be that way, because that's scientific. You can't have anything unless you have this. Energy, matter, time, space, concept. Concept, logos, knowledge. You're not going to get anything. You get nothing. Remember that. Let's pick on Newton again. Gravity explains the motions of the planets, but it cannot explain who sets the planets in motion. Don't you love this guy? It's amazing. Very, very, very amazing. And then we just end with this, and then we're done. And that is, it's human of us to think critically. We need to think critically. And that means a good way. There's 5 prevailing enemies against faith. I like to say in Christianity, faith founded on fact. There's 5 prevailing enemies of faith. Put yourself through the test. Number 1 is unbelief. Just flat out unbelief. I will not believe. And these people, it doesn't matter if they, if I see a miracle, I'll believe. No, they don't. Unbelief. Number 2, believe it or not, is worry. A great enemy of faith is worry. Worry is brutal because worry puts you in the place of running the universe, and it never works. Doubt, obviously, is a threat to faith. Fear. The Bible says that God loves us. Friends, listen, and perfect love casts out all fear. And the final one is flawed human reasoning. Aberrant reason. Well, listen, we could go on, and we're going to end with this right now, as promised. Can I turn this on? Do I know how? I know why Shure made a microphone. Or I don't. Is it? There you go. Okay, anybody have a question? You state your question. I'll repeat it. Have a question. You've had 55 minutes to think of a question. Anybody? Yes. Yes, she asked, can I repeat the Google search? I just went intentionally Google search and read the first thing that popped up because, again, that's what a lot of people do. So she wants me to read it again. And yes, I'll come back to that. I have to find it, but I have it. I read it to you. It's right here somewhere. Yes. Great question. How old are you? He's 10 years old. His question is, and the Bible will answer you on this one. The Bible will give you the order. His question was, did Adam and Eve eat from the tree of life before they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? The answer is, thank God, no. They ate from the knowledge of good and evil first. And then remember the angels? God placed the angels to prevent them from eating from the tree of life. Because if they would have done that, they would have lived forever in the condition that they were in. So God in his mercy wouldn't let, isn't it amazing? God in his mercy, after they fell, allowed them to die so he could redeem them. Think of that. Yeah. Yep. Great question. Why would God create Lucifer? By the way, you use the right words. In that order, why would God create Lucifer, knowing that he would sin, become Satan the devil, and then wind up tempting Adam and Eve, and they sinned and plunged the entire human existence into peril, into death and mayhem? Why would God do that? The Bible answers us that in the first 2 chapters of the book of Ephesians. And this is bizarre to us. Imagine the infinite patience of God. Number 1, angels and humans are the only 2 creations of God that come to us out of the Bible with choices. Did you know that? Angels have choice and humans have a choice. God, who is relational, he's a personality. That's how you relate to personality. To personality is how you relate to one another. God relates to you and I, personality. When God created us, he created us to have relationship with him. He could have created a robot that could never sin. He could have created a robot that only said, I love you, God. But God, who is a person, divine, spirit, yes, but personality, not human, it was a big deal for him to become a human for us. Do you understand that you cannot have true relationship or worship without choice? And you and I practice that in the loves that we have. Family, friends, whatever, okay? Yes, yeah, but what, it would have been better if you would have kept Adam and Eve from messing it up and Satan. I agree it would have been better, but it's not real. It's not real. You can't have it that way. You can't marry a woman who is programmed to tell you, I love you, I love you, that's all I do is love you. And it's like, who wants this? You would say, well, this is kind of a big risk, right? That God would do this? It's kind of a big deal. He's not human. Whatever he's doing, he says in the end, it's going to work out. He says, it's going to be perfect in the end. Here's the question. You need to make sure you're on the right end. Seriously. So again, you can't have love unless you have choice. God built choice. That's why, thank God, we're not computers. Yep. He said, if God created us with reason, then why, for example, Hollywood, the people, they don't have any reason. Because they've rejected God. Hollywood will not allow God in their thinking. Those of you who know, Romans chapter 1 says, because they did not want to retain God in their thoughts, but fashioned to themselves things like creeping things and four-footed beasts and birds of the air. In other words, they forgot the creator and they went and worshiped stuff like nature. The Bible says they became fools. They professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You said, oh, God gave them a reprobate. No, he didn't. They said, I don't want God in my life. And they stood there long enough in the wet cement of their reason that the cement dried. Whose fault is that? It's their fault. It's amazing. Next question, and yell at me when you find it. I'm trying to find that quote still. Oh, what's wrong with me? If you guys see it on the page, can you yell at me? No. Not only did I not remember what I said, you don't remember what I said either. I found it at the end of 3. Here you go. Where are you? You get a prize for being patient. Okay, what is human? First Google search that popped up. Homo sapiens, Latin for wise man, the species to which all modern human beings belong. Homo sapiens is one of several species grouped into the genus Homo, but it is the only one that is not extinct. See also human evolution. I tell you what, my notes are online. You can look at those. In fact, if you get the app, you get the notes sent to you automatically. Right? Somebody was right here. Yep. Great question. He's asking, why was Jesus' first 30 years of quiet? He said, wasn't he still God, omniscient, omnipresent and all? He asked a tremendous question. Write it down if you care. It is the doctrine of kenosis. Kenosis, K-E-N-O-S-I-S. It means that, and by the way, almost the entire book of Philippians deals with the doctrine of kenosis, which is this. Him being God emptied himself. This is amazing. To kenosis is to empty himself, it says, he still had all of his powers, but the kenosis is he chose not to pick them up once he set them down. In other words, remember when Peter cut off Malchus's ear in the garden? And Jesus said, put your sword away. Do you not know that I could call down 12 legions of angels? Well, why don't you? Because he would have said, kenosis. I have all power of the universe. I'm God in skin. But I am walking this life right now to show you people, my people, how to walk this life. I have reduced myself down to depend upon the word exactly how I need you to depend upon a word, on the word. And you need to know that even though, in fact, to me, this is the most amazing. If you could call down 12 legions of angels to protect yourself, wouldn't you do it? I would. Jesus didn't do it. He didn't do it because he was meek. Meek is having all power and not using it for your own means. He showed us that. And by the way, it was all for our redemption. Right here, standing up. That's awesome. Her question is, why is it do we, even as pastors in a funeral or Christians talking to one another, say, oh, they're in heaven now. Oh, you know, assuming a believer dies, right? It's a believer who dies and they're in heaven now. When she said, the book of Revelation tells us that there's the first resurrection and the second resurrection. So how can they be in heaven? Great question. Pay close attention, everyone. Number one, listen, answer if you know. To be absent from the body is to be... How are you... If I died right now, I'm absent from my body. Question, what's absent? My soul, my spirit. Only my body remains. If I drop dead right now, it's only this outer machine. It's a biomechanical dirt ball. Right. Machine, the part that animates me and you is the part that leaves at the moment of death. You understand that? It's amazing. Here's kind of fun. Oh my goodness. For those of you who are a little older, do you remember when computers were invented and we bought one and we went down and bought, or we got in the packaging, a floppy disk? Poor young people are going, a floppy disk. The computer, I'm making this part right now. The computer weighed 25 pounds. I'm making it up. I don't know. 10 pounds. Let's say it weighed 10 pounds. You take the floppy that's loaded with program and data. And you even went to Blockbuster and Fedco and bought more programs. And you put them in the drive. Are you with me? And all of the data of the Encyclopedia of Britannica went onto the computer, and then you took the drive out. Question, how much did the computer weigh after you put in all the data? Seriously. Same. Think about you. You might weigh 180 pounds. When you die, you don't weigh 172 when your spirit leaves. You are, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:20, you are body, soul, and spirit. When this body dies, the body, the word resurrection never refers to the spirit. The word resurrection never refers to the soul. The word resurrection is strictly reserved for the third part of you. You are a trichotomy, body, soul, spirit. It only refers to the body. Bodies must be resurrected. The first resurrection deals with the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself, who was the first fruits of the dead. And the first resurrection will end when the last believer in him is raised from the dead. The second resurrection, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, are all those who are resurrected. Think of this. Their souls are reunited with their bodies. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, they will stand before the great white throne judgment of God and be judged for their sins. And then they will be cast into the lake of fire, because that's where they actually wanted to go, which is bizarro. They refused to believe in him. They didn't want him. So imagine this. Everyone gets at least one answered prayer. I don't want God in my life. And God says, okay, then you won't have me. So when somebody dies as a believer, you go straight to the presence of the Lord. As a non-believer, the Bible says you go to what's called Sheol. Or hell, we would say. It's not the ultimate hell, that's later. So don't confuse the two. Remember you are not your body. I know we spend so much time on our bodies. And we feed our bodies and we take care of our bodies. But we don't feed our souls much and we don't take care of our souls. And yet that's the part that's going to live forever. So I hope your soul is right with Jesus. And if you want to get your soul right with Jesus, let's pray right now. And you can do that right now, because God is awesome. Bow your head if you would. You say, I'm an atheist. Just be nice. Come on. Join civility, will you? Lord, I thank you for this evening and for a start of what's going to be a lot of fun. And God, I'm just asking you too that you will help me deliver. Some of the things that are coming are really edgy about our sexuality and about marriage and about child rearing and why all these things. And yet you have the answer. And you are the answer for our soul tonight. Lord, we thank you that the very same one who gave us logic and reason, you've asked us to exercise faith, but you're so kind because you're inviting us to put our faith upon a fact. And the fact is, the Bible says Jesus Christ would come and be born in Bethlehem, that we'd recognize him because he would perform all these miracles and say all these things, including which he said, if you kill me, or when you kill me, 3 days later, I'll rise again. He said that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come through the Father but through him. He also said, if anyone comes to him, he will never turn them away. He said, for God so loved you that he gave his only glorified Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. My dear friends, tonight, whoever you may be, wherever you may be listening or watching, right now, right where you're at, you can say and agree with God because you're going to exercise logic and reason and you're going to be honest and you're going to say, God, forgive me because I have cheated, I've lied, I've been proud, I've gotten angry, I've been upset. I need you to forgive me of my sins. I don't understand all this, but I've heard enough truth tonight to rattle my core. And I'm asking you to help me. Open my eyes to you. Because if this word says what I've heard tonight, and it says you rose from the dead, then I want to know this. Dear friend, right now, you tell him. He can hear your mind thinking right now. He's listening. You tell him that you want to put your life's trust in him now. For some of you who are just really skeptical and you're just hanging out there on the edge and you're kind of saying, I wish I could. How about this? Be honest. He can hear you. Say to him, God, if you're real, will you show yourself to me or open my eyes or whatever you want, whatever it takes? Can you be that honest with yourself and him, my friend? What are you afraid of? He made you. He knows how you work. You've been calling the shots and it's not worked out too good so far. Let him have you back. Lord, we thank you. Bless these people as they go this week. Until next week, Lord, keep them in all their ways. We pray in Jesus' name and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Why Oh Why. Thanks for being with us today. Why Oh Why is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Why Series. It's a group of specific messages that tackle the tough questions of life by giving us answers straight from the Bible, which is, of course, our amazing roadmap towards our meaning and purpose for living. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, you know, we're excited to announce that Pastor Jack will be hosting another Bible prophecy conference. It's called Behold He Comes, with special guests Jan Markell, Amir Sarfati, and Pastor Barry Stagner. And you are invited to join us through our exclusive live stream pass. The streaming pass gives you special access to watch the conference live on Saturday, September 11th, and it includes 2 hours of additional pre-recorded interviews, teachings, and backstage access with the speakers themselves, and that's just for a $5 purchase. We also have Spanish and Mandarin Chinese translations available. If you'd like more information and to get your streaming pass, simply visit beholdhecomes.org. Now, here's a pretty cool opportunity for pastors and churches who'd like to watch the conference together. If your church is interested in hosting the Behold He Comes Bible Prophecy Conference, or if you'd like to find a church in your area hosting the event, again, you can visit us at beholdhecomes.org That's BeholdHeComes.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.